Welcome to the podcast.
You were talking about something involving performing autopsies on babies.
What?
It was apropos.
And then we were talking about performing autopsies on other people, and Robert said it was gross, and you said, but what if it was a hot girl? And then he said, what the fuck are you talking about? And then we started talking about new holes.
Baby?
No.
It's completely out of context.
A hot girl performing an autopsy.
Every bit of that is completely out of context.
No, a hot girl.
Who's ready for a pod? It's the eve of the Ides of June 2010, and this is the Addle Thumbs Podcast 8.
And I'm Chris Remo.
And I'm Nick Brecken.
I'm Steve Keener.
And I'm Jake Rodkin.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
And I'm Nick Brecken.
We're here to talk about video games with no guests.
Oh, well, I mean, except for Famous Vanaman. But other than that, nobody.
Yeah, he's
except
not notable. Yeah, they can't hear your smile, Sean. They hear you have to talk.
I'm beaming. Hi, guys.
You were beaming.
I wasn't here, and then Jake said I could be here, and now I'm here. So we're joined by somebody else, I think.
And I'm Nick Brecken.
Yeah, somebody better.
Yeah,
much.
Oh, shit.
Better man than any of us.
Yeah.
Fuck Nick Brecken.
And I'm Nick Brecken.
Who's joining us via...
Oh, yeah. I thought he was in the room.
Tape delay.
Yeah. He's not here, actually, so that was...
But he's live to tape.
We'll be playing an MP3 of Nick's voice into your ears later today.
Yeah.
So look forward to that.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Now, don't touch that dial.
Mark your calendars.
For the sides of this episode.
So now we're going to talk about games.
Video games.
Because we got some stuff to talk about,
I think so. Don't we?
I think we
probably
do.
Well, I walked in and I said, what's everybody playing? And everybody said...
But then you said, oh shit, E3 is coming up, and E3 is fucking back this year. This is the year of E3.
Is this the year of E3?
I hear that there's
a year of E3.
Well, there's shit going down.
It's rising like a phoenix.
It's like the future of game. The fucking thing we've been waiting for now forever. The future of games
begins. Is this the year
of
the future?
Well, this is when the future starts to become real. It's like the moment where we...
So we're on the cusp right now today?
The precipice.
We're at the tipping point?
Yes.
How do you know?
Well, we've got the world premiere of the Microsoft Natal Deluxe.
Oh,
and
is it called the Natal Deluxe?
Move-a-thon.
Oh, presented by Cirque du Soleil.
That's true.
Yeah,
it is.
That's going to be great.
So, you know, the future will become slowly it's peeled happening. Like an onion.
And Nintendo's got that.
There'll be a tiny Korean man inside. Am I remembering the right thing?
What are you talking about?
It's out mean to everybody.
Steve's talking about the new Nintendo peripheral, the tiny Korean man inside.
I'm remembering back when you guys were talking.
That's how the horse bag works.
You guys were talking about like StarCraft, and within each layer of the like strategy of the game, you peeled them back until there was one tiny Korean man.
The Russian doll,
like an onion.
Yeah.
The Russian onion that is StarCraft 2 featuring Korean man. It's multicultural.
Yeah, it's a melting pot. E3, I mean.
Not
of different
StarCraft.
Video game publishers?
It's a melting pot of white nerds. hanging out
from different video game companies.
There's some girls there.
That's true.
They're paid.
You said white nerds, not white male nerds.
Well, it is white male nerds.
Jake, you kind of jumped to a conclusion there.
You jumped to the correct conclusion.
It's pretty much dudes.
Oops, all dudes?
It's pretty much dudes.
No, it's not oops. It's by design.
You're right.
The third E stands for dudes.
So did you guys see that crazy Rock Band 3 stuff?
Oh, yes.
I heard that they're going to
use real
instruments.
I heard they're going to use real Rock Band 3. I thought you were talking about Guitar Hero : It's Not Brutal Legend, actually.
Oh, right. Well, that's also
a different
news.
No,
explain that.
there's two big
music game announcements. One
also cool, but different cool. Because we're going to make fun of it for a minute.
So yeah, I hear that there's this new game published by Activision about how you can get sucked into a crazy fantasy world derived from rock and heavy metal. And then you fight crazy demons and stuff using the power of rock. It's called Guitar Hero.
Guitar Sweet. Hero colon
colon
Brew Legends Legend. Or Warriors of Rock or something.
Oh, Warriors of Rock. Of Rock, I think.
Yeah. If it was Legends Warriors, of Rock, that would be murderous. Yeah. Yeah.
Brutal Legends of Rock.
Parenthesis, they are brutal. Yes.
Legends of Rock, which have
brutality,
been, which are rumored to be brutal.
That's special moves.
That's true. Anyway, so that was that's a terrible thing. That's false. I don't know about the Rock Band 3 thing, so you can tell me about that.
It's well, they're adding like on the most basic level, they're adding keyboards this time.
And how does that work? Is it like is it just
an actual
like
keyboard?
88 key piano?
No, it's a 21. It's a 25. Yeah, 25 keys.
It's between 21 and 25 keys. Up to 25 keys.
It's a keytar. Depends
on what marketing says.
You can play it either in normal mode where it's just. It uses the middle five keys and they're colored like
it's
on
like,
the guitar.
Do, 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 do. Like, right. That's hilarious.
Do, well, do, no, I mean, they're just mapped to whatever. It's like the guitar. They're not specific.
That's true. You can
notes.
Play Keyboard Cat with it. That's Rock Band Network will feature Keyboard Cat on day one.
I guarantee this. And I mean, it's going to ship with it.
That's true. It's the unlockable song. Fuck Dragon Force or Trogdor or whatever.
Yeah.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah. Yeah, they got drums and everything.
But so anyway, there's a keyboard.
Now I'm excited about Rock Band 3. I wasn't before.
It's like a legit MIDI keyboard.
Yeah, and you can play on pro mode, and you will actually be note for note what it is, just like the drums
are. So it's like the Miracle Piano System. But no one had that. Okay, my friend had that. It's a MIDI keyboard you could plug into your Nintendo Entertainment System.
Wait, really?
Yeah, teach you how to play the piano.
What? Sounds crazy.
I sense a copyright infringement.
Oh, there were some commercials. They're the kind of commercials that end with the blue screen with the yellow 800 number telling you about the Miracle Piano System.
Can you order it from Nebraska?
I don't know, but it did have the seal of quality, so it wasn't totally, it wasn't some Tengen shit.
Right. Yeah, but so, and then they're actually releasing also an actual Squier Stratocaster guitar, like
that just has a little Xbox icon
actual
on it?
Real guitar. I don't think they've shown it yet, or maybe they have, but not in detail. But it's a fucking guitar that you can plug into an amp and play, or plug into Rock Band 3 and play the actual song with the actual notes.
So Harmonix is living up to their 30-year goal.
They're
of
like
being
pursuing their actual mission. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
well played them.
And they're adding more cymbals and stuff to the drums so that you can actually do a hi-hat for real instead of like playing the same thing on I mean all the old instruments will still work with Rock Band 3.
It'll just be worthless.
But but what's cool is that all the new drum stuff, they already have been coding that data into Rock Band songs.
It uses the full MIDI like percussion language or whatever.
And so so that won't work for the new instruments like the keyboard specifically, but for drums where it's just added functionality, cool. It's backwards compatible. Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's really impressive. Also, there's like two companies trying to make an actual real guitar rhythm game, and I feel really bad for them because they're getting fucked now.
That's a wrap, probably.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, we saw one of them.
I'm going to learn to play one of those instruments via video game. That is my 2011
years
resolution.
Where is the goddamn banjo game?
Oh, my gosh. I need to borrow that banjo from Chuck.
Yeah.
I also made a promise that I was going to learn the banjo. Sweet. It's kind of video game related. It's kind of Red Dead Redemption
banjo freaks
related.
Me out.
Talk about
I really would like to learn how to play it, but it's weird compared to a guitar.
You have to make a crab claw. It's really good radio, by the way, is me making a hand in front of your face.
That's true.
I like seeing it. Let me just tell you, readers, he made a cool hand. So
he did. It was like a crab.
They call him Cool Hand Vanaman.
Oh, man.
I'm in.
I wish they did.
Is there anything else of note that's surrounding the Electronic 3?
E3?
Zelda Wii?
It's going to be Zelda like you've never... I don't.
It's going to be exactly like the other Zelda.
It's streamlined for dumb. I'm curious to see what the fuck it is, because that Miyamoto has been like, we realize Zelda's really hard. Like, what? But then it's like, oh, no, but it's still going to be the same Zelda game. Like, what? You can't... Oh, so we'll see what that is.
Well, they're just going to add in the video tutorial thing.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, right. The solve the game
that fixes it.
Hey, listen. Yeah. Loading Bink. Like, what? Yeah, that's true. That could happen.
Hey.
Navi shows up and gives you the little video.
Why does Navi make the baboo? Oh,
she kind of makes a bird noise.
She does. Like, she does that little thing over your head.
Okay, that's true. Anyway, that's
happening.
She
turns into a video. Of how to play the game.
The fairy just... Oh, God.
An MPEG
appears.
But only in
40p. Stretches out to fill the screen.
Yeah. I sort of... Like a mouth opens that contains an MPEG that sort of slowly scales up over the course of 2 seconds to fill your monitor. And then it zooms in and it turns into that infinite looping like Hasselhoff crotch gif or whatever that is. plug anyway, it up on the internet.
You know, that's probably going to be what happens at Nintendo's
E3. That sounds like that would be like Zelda like I've never seen before.
Yeah, that's true.
Miyamoto was right.
My mind was blown.
And then we'll see what Natal is called and what it looks like.
Oh, it's not going to be called Natal?
No, I don't think so.
Really? Xbox 2.
I feel like they got so much traction with Natal as a word.
That's what everyone thought about the Nintendo Revolution.
So they're going to call it the Wii. It's going to be a little bold.
Microsoft Wii.
They're going to call it the Microsoft Hey.
Has everyone seen the video of the...
And it's going to make that emoticon.
Hey!
Has everyone seen the video of the parade people playing...
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. That looks so cool.
Future of games.
Your two kids can just dance around in the front and the game keeps going.
Mom can kick one in the back and he almost falls over.
Oh. Well, your mom can just do a mom dance and successfully play the game. So.
Like Come on, kids. Move more. Move.
A mom dance and a towel. Keep also moving. Detects mom pants for 2x multiplier.
Come on, kids. Keep moving. Keep dancing. Yeah. Keep moving. Move more.
Dance more!
Bomber appears if your dad isn't sufficiently encouraging.
Virtual Bomber?
Yeah. Virtual Bomber.
Dance! Jesus, Bomber.
Jake is doing a monkey dance as Bomber.
What? Bomber's got those beach volleyball physics going on.
That's true.
What?
And what?
The DOA beach volleyball bounce physics. Yeah.
Bomber should support that.
What are you talking
about? What, is a large man boob?
Yeah. I can imagine a realistically rendered Bomber.
That's probably true.
Sorry, this is like...
I can imagine a realistically rendered Bomber.
What, like a super normal mapped Bomber?
Is his shirt off?
No! What? Where are you going with this?
I don't know.
Clearly wearing 360 avatar clothes.
Oh, right. That's true.
That wouldn't be especially realistic.
Well, but then right at the neckline, though.
It's just his extremely realistic head.
300 different maps are applied to make sure, yeah, Shader City above the neckline.
E3 sounds like it's going to be really good.
No,
yeah, it's great.
Does anyone have any actual E3 facts?
XCOM's going to be at E3.
Are you going to be there, Steve?
No.
Presenting XCOM?
No.
Steve Ganner's XCOM?
No.
Oh, okay, just regular XCOM.
The excellent com. Yeah.
So other than Steve's bullshit.
Mm-mm. I got nothing to do with XCOM yet.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So leave me out of it. Mm. Someday I will touch an XCOM, but I'm
that
looking forward
to it. Today is not that day.
Yeah, today is not that day. Today I'm touching a podcast with my voice.
That's true.
Yeah.
And sweet. Through the podcast, my voice is touching your ears. Readers, I hope that's fine.
That's also true.
That's
what are you looking forward to at E3? I mean, you're going to be interviewing a bunch of people and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Journalism.
We should get together and interview each other, maybe.
That's true. We should do
That'd be great.
Aside from Sean, quote-unquote, famous Vanaman, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be seeing some cool games?
Probably.
Talking to some cool game developers?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah?
I don't know.
Chris, what are you going to do at E3?
Off the top of
my chasing
head.
Down, you know. I don't want to use the word scoop. God, you're going to be chasing down news. I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there will be press conferences.
Breaking
I guess.
The big.
I don't know.
News.
I don't think E3 is exciting to talk about.
Oh,
yeah, that's true. Okay. Okay, well, fuck
video
you,
games,
fuck
for
E3
God's
Nick.
Sake.
Enough talking about E3. Let's talk about games.
Yeah, I played a couple games this week. I think.
What were they like?
I mean, you've played a lot more Red Dead Redemption than I have.
Oh, I have.
I've played a few.
You
hours
beat it.
Oh, yeah,
Steve, beat
it.
I finished it fully.
You got the power up and won the game.
Yeah. I whooped it. How far are you into it?
I don't know. I would say 4 hours, maybe.
I rode around a ranch with a lady.
Mm. Did you actually?
That sounds really nice.
Have you actually played a game?
I played the first 10 minutes of Red Dead Redemption at someone else's house.
Nice.
Yeah.
How'd you like the horse driving?
Not actually a huge fan of driving the horse around.
Mm. I really like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
Feels, I don't know, ridden a lot of horses in my day. Felt like, not like that, but...
I rode one horse and then it scraped up against a tree and bent my leg back and it hurt.
Oh,
did Red Dead Redemption accurately capture that sensation?
That experience?
No, but Red Dead Redemption did let me run around and silently kill everyone in the town in the middle of the night and then go home. So
oh,
that
really?
Was fun.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because...
I play it like I play GTA, apparently, which is wait for nightfall and murder everyone over and over again.
Did you
again.
Stab them all?
I silently knifed their throats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All throats were cut.
Right.
I cut the throat of a guy who was asleep in his bed and then just walked away scot-free. I felt really bad.
Yeah.
There's an interesting thing, I think, about Red Dead Redemption versus GTA. And what you just said reminded me of it because I have not done any of that stuff yet. And that might change as I play more. Who knows? But
get angry.
You know, for the first like 4 or 5 hours that I've played, the interesting thing is I was like, all right, I haven't done anything super violent. I haven't really gone on any rampages. I wonder why that is. And I came to a few And I'm like, that seems kind of odd because this is a more – depicts a more lawless society, at least in theory, than like the modern day. So you'd think I would have fewer compulsions about –
But this is what you said about GTA 4 as well. You role-played the shit out of GTA 4.
Yeah, but I still – it's almost impossible in GTA to avoid crashing into a bunch of stuff and accidentally killing pedestrians and like – I mean, it's just –
You
really,
find yourself inside of a rampage in that game.
Just, that just happens.
And you're blowing up cars.
It's a commentary on this modern times versus the olden
but
times,
also, simply like,
which are changing, and it's interesting that they're changing. True. Says dialogue.
But also, there's
actually, I was informed of that.
I really disliked that in the intro, how it was just like
how interesting the times.
This
were.
Is the end of an era, and these times we're in.
It was
this
it
old
was
west.
Little,
it's like the olden west. It's like we're in olden times.
Yeah.
There's kind of weirdly like pockets of that throughout the game. It's strange.
I can tell,
there's one writer who's just like, I can't remember if I wrote about if it's olden times and if we're on the cusp of a new era.
If we're worried about the federal government encroaching, what about those Indians?
Native Americans.
Yeah, please, that's true. They're
please, Chris.
Yeah.
That'd be nice if they called them Native Americans, but still there was just crazy Jew-hating shopkeeper. Everyone else was like, it's African-American.
Anyway, they don't get around to talking about them for a while, but when they do, they call them savages.
The Native Americans?
Yeah.
Well, they talk about them a lot in the intro. That was what I was mainly thinking of.
I was like...
You skipped that cutscene.
I was looking at Twitter during that intro. I wasn't...
Oh, okay, because the
I knew what was happening.
The intro is the heaviest-handed dialogue I've seen in the entire game so far.
There will continue to be more. Like, it's weird. Like, yeah, it really does kind of feel like there was a writer who wrote, like, really literally, you know? And it was like, the intro and...
I love this video game.
And a lot of the time, like, Telltale Bonnie is, like, a really weird, like,
she
character.
Fluctuates a lot.
She doesn't fluctuate very much. She's just, like, really kind of, I don't know, stiff, you know? Like, she just kind of says things, you know? Like, not much like a character. It's very kind of expositional. And then later on, at a couple of key points, there's more stuff like that, where it's just, like, wait, people were talking like humans in the last mission, and then this one, they're just sort of like stating facts about what's going on in the story. It's odd. But, you know, it's such a big game with so much content, it's not really surprising, I guess, that the approach differs.
Oh, of course. That happens often.
Whenever anybody talks about the dialogue, I feel like Bonnie's name comes up. That's the name I keep hearing.
It's because her dialogue is really weird.
Yeah.
And then you'll play another mission like with the sheriff of the town or something, and the dialogue is really good.
Yeah,
and
some of the dialogue is great, and some of the voice acting is fantastic.
It's like, yeah, so it just
my dad wrote all the dialogue with
for
Bonnie. So
oh wow, your dad's a bat. I haven't played any of it, so I have no say. I mean, I have played it, but I played.
You rode a horse.
Only multiplayer with my little sister.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that was cool. But.
Oh yeah, on Comedy Game Setup.
On Hilarious, her and her boyfriend have 2 65-inch. TVs next to each other with Xboxes hooked up, so it makes
so that you
one.
Just ride a horse side by side in real time on 2 giant TVs.
Yeah, it's really
that's kind of awesome.
It's really hilarious. It's in like the couch is really comfy, so you're like kind of like nestled
it's
in.
It's
there.
Like a horse.
It's great. Well, you're looking at essentially
you can get without a
especially
horse
when you're riding next to each other. There's an overlap, but like the landscape when you're riding next to each other, like Siobhan, that's my sister. We were bumping into each other like on the horses, but like the landscape is amazing. You're literally looking at, you know, 9 feet. Of high definition Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And then like I'm stopping to kill armadillos. But it was awesome. It was really, really fun. Yeah.
And your sister's name is Siobhan?
Siobhan. Yes.
So it's Sean and Siobhan.
Yeah, that was never confusing. Siobhan! Was that you? Me? I don't know. Let's not go.
How are you?
Well, your mom called you Siobhan with an apostrophe in there. It was fucking stupid.
Hey.
What? Horsebag. Horsebag. Horsebag, Mrs. Vanneman.
I knew 2 girls in college who their parents' names were Robin and Lynn, and their names were Linnell and Robinelle.
Worst. Yep. Oh my
That's
god.
That's a head explode.
Yep.
Oh, I don't like that at all. But
real
you
story.
Know, I'm sure they're nice. I'm sure they're good people. I'm sure they're narcissists. Anyway.
What?
I don't know. You name your kids after you? It's bold.
You name your kids a mutant version of
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Ooh, I don't like anything about that. But the game, and this is the criticism, I think, of the multiplayer from what I've heard, is that while the first person or the single player feels really kind of robust and alive, that the multiplayer kind of falls a little flat.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of fun, but it was more like we're just trying to figure out ways to, you know, kill a bunch of mans at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it's more like, okay, you go around the back and I'll go in here and we'll shoot people, but... Less, you walk into town and it might as well be a ghost town full of empty AI.
And that's exactly how it, yeah, so like multiplayer is just a reduced version of single player. And yeah, single player, you just feel much more a part of a world. There are just like so many more systems that are, you know, in action in at concert. A given time. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have those guys turning into donkeys, which seems pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, also you the have bird people. Scary bird man.
Yeah.
You may have Cougar Man.
Cougar Man. Yeah, I saw that on the back of the box. Sweet. Selling point.
That's true.
One out of every 300 games randomly rolls for the presence of Cougar Man.
But, I still don't have any idea how those bugs are caused, but like...
So we were talking about it, actually.
Programmers at work were trying to figure out what the fuck would cause it, and no one really could. It needs a cougar, but all it has in memory is man's, so...
Yep. You know.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Maybe a donkey woman.
Oh, birds flying as people is so good. And whoever made the YouTube video with the I Believe I Can Fly laid over that, well done. I approve. It was very entertaining.
I congratulate that guy.
What's going on? Oh, I guess Steve just made a thumbs up into the microphone.
Yeah! Readers, you can't see it.
It's a jaguar sound.
That sound is so fucking hilarious. That stupid stalk.
Especially when it precedes your horse getting killed in Red Dead Redemption by a quarter of a second.
That was my introduction.
Huh?
So it's...
I guess.
The only thing to tell you why your horse just ragdolled is that sound. You're like, huh? Why'd my horse just fall over?
Oh. Oh, hey, what's up?
Yeah. What else are you playing, Chris?
Well, I haven't finished the point I was making.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so anyway, I've been having a
deep. What are you talking about? Were you here earlier?
I was here for a minute.
Oh, okay. You're back, though.
Yeah, I went somewhere.
Somebody cut you off. How's the redemption?
So, Cougar Man.
I kind of forget what I was saying.
You were talking about why you didn't do ultra violence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. A good point.
That we did our thing.
Yeah, it's a less. I mean, I don't know. For one thing, the game takes itself a little more seriously than GTA does. I would, at least where I am in the game, like there isn't a lot of just outrageousness being thrown in your face like there is in GTA, even in GTA 4.
No crazy sunglasses.
Yeah, sadly, but although I do go around wearing the nicest suit I can own at any given time.
Always. Yeah, I noticed you were wearing the gentleman's attire.
I enjoy it. But
actually, right now, Chris is wearing a gentleman's attire. Yeah. That's what Steve is referring to.
But there's a funny, like, sort of almost contradictory thing that comes up. Like, the nature of the world is that, you know, you're living on the land. It's the frontier. You just take what people live on, whatever they can get. You go out and you just take a horse, whatever. But because that's actually built into the sort of understood social contract of that world, it actually means you don't have to be a criminal just to do basic things. Whereas in GTA, just to get a car, basically you have to
burgle.
You have to put rip an a guy out of it and throw a guy.
Yeah, like
and the car alarm
even
goes
just
off.
To
it's
get
illicit.
The most basic unit of transportation in that game, you have to break a law, which doesn't make any sense because no one in that game makes you want to go to a car dealership.
You can just, in GTA 4, you can drive your cousin's car for the entire game probably until someone says, drive my Lamborghini.
But anyway.
Yeah, you have to get into the other cars for missions.
But yeah, I thought that was interesting in Red Dead Redemption. It took me a while to realize why that was the case. And then once I did, I'm like, oh yeah, it's just because
it's a lawless society.
This is just a place where you just go out and lasso a horse. And that's what you do. You do that in this time or this era. So,
whereas I only ever used my own horse, because you can whistle to.
And that too, right, exactly. Yeah,
which I fucking love because
it's really cool.
Yeah, basically you have a horse and once you hitch it, it becomes your horse. And then if you get separated from your horse or if it's just, you know, 20 feet away or something and you want it to come to you, you whistle and it will come to you. But that's true always forever. So you can get on some guy's stagecoach for a mission and ride to the other side of the frontier or whatever and get out and the mission ends and your horse is nowhere to be seen and you're just like, and then you turn around and your horse is just galloping over the horizon.
Hey, dude.
It implies this fiction of your horse is just sort of secretly following you everywhere you go.
It's like that ninja cat you. In that video. If
it's ninja cat.
Have you guys seen the Sherlock Holmes video?
Oh yeah,
of Watson,
yes,
being that guy.
So
there's this adventure game that came out 2 years ago, Sherlock Holmes Nemesis, and I guess they didn't want to animate Watson. Like it's a first person game. It's first.
Oh shit! So
Holmes.
Like you look away and look back, and he's closer.
And he's closer. Yeah.
No.
It's an amazing video. Someone just took 5 minutes of video of just walking around this museum and looking at Watson, and then kind of stepping behind a pillar, and then turning around, and he's 2 inches away from you in front of your face, and then you look. It's amazing. Look up creepy Watson, Sherlock Holmes Nemesis. It's amazing. So that's the whole technology that Rockstar licensed.
Yes.
Yeah.
To make the horse.
Creepy yeah, exactly. horse.
The horse is powered yeah. by creep. This, you know, NVIDIA, the way it's meant to be played. Creepy horse. Creepy Watson.
Creepy Watson sounds like a middleware.
It uses yeah, it Creepy does. Watson technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
superior middleware.
The other great thing about that is, like, if there's a certain kind of horse that you always want to have, you can buy a deed for it at a general kit. Store. Yeah, it's like a little certificate horse that deed. Says you own this kind of deed. It's a horse deed. It's a horse deed.
Horse.
And so, like, you know, if you have this horse deed in your inventory, basically you can use it at any time to summon that kind of horse. But so, like, you'll just jump on some other horse, and, you know, once you've jumped on it, it becomes yours until you
and
get
then
on
you
another
open up
one.
The horse
and,
deed.
Well, but you get on the horse and you ride it somewhere, and then you jump off and use the horse deed, you know, and to summon your other. Horse. And so, like, the first horse just immediately just. Runs off into the distance. It's like, oh, fuck, I'm out of here.
I hate you now. I hate you and your horse deed.
And then the other horse spawns it off screen and, like, runs in and stands in front of me. So it's just this great thing of the horse just like, oh, shit.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know you had that horse deed.
Yeah.
That reminds me of
there's weird, surreal shit. I mean, like, that's what that great story that Michael Abbott wrote on BrainyGamer.com was about.
Really,
like, basically,
really
that there's because this is an open world game based on GTA, there's sort of a lot of video game logic in it. Because, like, the game cycles day and night and all that stuff, but it also basically has to be static forever. Like, you know, if there's a shopkeeper in some store, there's always going to be a shopkeeper in that store. But you can kill a shopkeeper in the store, so how do they deal with that, right? And so, like, Michael Abbott wrote this story about in the town of Armadillo, the shopkeeper is this, like, you come in and he's like, how can I do for you? And you buy something. And he's like, no goods made by Jews in this store. And you're like, what?
if you're Michael Abbott.
Yeah. And so Michael Abbott was like, that's not cool. And he went to buy something else.
Abbott-dee-scoot-a-doop. Brown out just...
Anyway, he went to...
What? All the lights in your house turned off for a second. Is everything okay?
No, they didn't. The screensaver just started.
Screensaver
this
dick.
Is how the lights have been the whole
the
time.
The power outage happened and we're not on the air anymore.
Screensaver
guys, hello?
Everything's cool.
Wait, look, Sean, I can't see you.
The levels are still going.
Steve, are you around?
Everything, oh, look at that. Chris brought it back.
Thanks, Chris. I was worried that the podcast stopped recording when all the lights in the house went out.
Except for the
except
lights.
Except for all the other lights that aren't
probably
that screen.
Flickered for a second and
the only light.
On.
No, there are
no,
two
no,
lights.
You guys, it's okay.
So he goes into the shop in Armadillo, and the shopkeeper just, you know, you'll buy something from him, and he'll say something anti-Semitic, and he's like, what is this? And he just basically got tired of the guy being an asshole, and so he blew him away. And, you know, the cops came, and he, like, gave up and went to jail. And when he went back, the shopkeeper was there again, just, like, immediately. He was like, all right, anti-Semitic
no,
shopkeeper
the shop
that I hate.
Closed, but then it reopened the next day or something like that?
Well, he had gone to jail. Oh, so, you know, some days pass or whatever. Typical. And so he comes back and shoots him again. And this time, since he had done it more than once, it's like, you killed the shopkeeper. You'll have to wait 5 days before this shop will be open again.
This shopkeeper rises from his grave.
Yeah, essentially.
Before Lazarus
it was like,
here.
Yeah, you'll have to wait 5 days to visit this shop again. And so he was like, oh, well, okay, maybe they'll spawn some other kind of shopkeeper now that, you know, that they acknowledge this guy is dead. So he, you know, went off and did some stuff and came back 5 days later. And it's just the same guy. Like, no Jews in my store. And so he basically, like, made part of his game narrative, like, some Groundhog's Day thing of he would go about his business and every 5 days he would come back and just, like, blow the guy away, like, hog tie him and drag him out in the middle of the street and then shotgun him or whatever. And it just became, like, his little ritual of, like, hey, buddy. Be back in five. See ya.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
it's fucking
so
wonderful.
It's
and
so
his write up of it is way better
it's
than
really,
my summary.
Really
but, you know, it's like just this collision of, you know, sort of like your real world perception of the events and sort of the wrapper around this whole thing and then the weird video game logic of just like perpetual yeah, I don't know. It is awesome. Stuff like that happens in that game and makes me laugh.
So something reminded you of something earlier, Chris, and I can't remember what it was, but it might have involved...
Oh, we kind of moved off the topic, but...
Oh, we'll bring it back for you.
Well, I was just... This is not a good story on its own, but basically, because I went, you know, for the first couple hours not really needing to do anything outrageous or, like, kill any innocent people or do anything that would draw attention to me if it were happening in the real world, I kind of got to the point where, you know, you're done with all the... tutorial stuff where you're on a pretty fixed path and I'm just kind of walking around this town of Armadillo and I see the little poker icon on the map and I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna go play poker. That's sweet. And so I just started mashing on the A button so my guy would run as fast as possible. And then I started thinking about it from the NPC's perspective. Basically, they're all hanging out in this quiet saloon, just like leaned up against this guy just explodes through the like little swingy door.
You guys playing poker? Like, poker in here?
Yeah. Knocks over like three prostitutes and then just like bursts through the back door and then just is completely quiet again.
I bolt.
I'll call.
Have you gotten the bandana yet?
No, I haven't.
You can get it at a general store, I think. I don't know, but you can buy a bandana, and basically while you have it on, it makes it so your honor and fame don't change no matter what you do while you're wearing it. You can still accrue a bounty, so there's still repercussions for doing bad shit, but you can't...
They don't persist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your bounty persists. You can build up, I owe thousands of dollars and bounty hunters will come in. Right. Exactly. It's not going to change your alignment, basically. And, the guys at work, I don't know. I always play games like that as a good character. I don't really have any need for the bandana. But I was partway through the campaign, and the guys at work were playing it during lunch, and they had gotten the bandana. And basically, if you're playing a good playthrough, but every once in a while somebody just really deserves it, it becomes this little...
There's a ritual.
This kind of emote, you know? I don't know. Were you guys ever riding through the plains, and there's some guy that's like... They have these challenges, for different systemic stuff, like hunting or whatever. And so there's this one guy who's like, hey, buddy, hey, I bet you can't gather herbs faster than me.
I ignored that guy because that sounded really boring.
And that was the thing. It's like the most...
So you put on the bandana.
Well, it's the most absurd. it's the most absurd one. It's like, who wants to challenge you to pick flowers faster than him? And so one of the guys at work, his description was...
in the old west.
Yeah, his description was that, the first time he encountered that guy, he's like, hey, buddy, I want you to come pick some herbs. And he was like, and just shot him down in mid-sentence. He's like, don't you ever tell me to pick herbs faster than you, boy. But so that kind of story had gone around the office, and they were playing at lunch and encountered one of those guys. And the guy playing just sort of stood in front of him and then just very deliberately took the bandana out and put it on right in his face. And he takes the lasso and lassos the guy. And you know, this is always at a camp. And he lassos him and drags him through his own campfire. And the guy catches on fire and burns to death. And then he just takes the bandana back off. But I found that to be really useful because, I was playing poker in Blackwater, the city near the end of the game, sort of the biggest city in the game. And I sit down and, I'm having this kind of bluffing war with some dude. You know, we keep raising the stakes and he goes all in and I go all in. And I had two pair or something like that, aces high. And then he has a full house and it just cleans me out. And so the animation just makes my guy stand up from the table. And he's like, well, I guess that's it for me. And then I'm just bandana. and then I just dead eye and, put it in a slow motion and pull my shotgun out and they react to that, So in super slow motion, they all start to jump up from the table while tagging all four of the guys. And then it goes out of slow motion. It's it blood's all over the back wall. And I just kill everyone at the table because I was pissed off about getting my money took. And then I ran away and the cops shot me. But it's just I don't know. Just there are a lot of ways to be expressive in a really satisfying way in that game. Just being a total asshole old west man. But that in particular, just, the old west desperado getting pissed off at the poker table and just pulling out a six shooter is a total old west thing. Yeah. I don't know.
No,
it's a lot of fun.
As somebody who hasn't played much, now you've still I'm there. I'll be Bandanaman. Yeah, that'll be good.
Sean Bandanaman.
There's no, a much
evil. You did that.
Dude, that's not what I meant though.
Sean famous Bandanaman.
Yeah, Sean Bandanaman Vanaman. That's great.
A
famous Bandanaman. So, Chris, you're going to say something.
Sean, I was going to say, there's a much less versatile, more hilarious version of that in Alpha Protocol, which is the other game I've been playing this week, which is that...
Yeah, how are you feeling about that game? You're going to give it more time?
I'm certainly giving it more time, but there are some things I know I like about it and some things I know I don't. And the things I don't is exactly kind of what I was a little disappointed about in about the first Mass Effect game, although this game is more inconsistent than Mass Effect. But it's basically just that the combat's not very fun at all. It's just not... They didn't do it right.
It's a spy game, are you able to avoid combat very much?
Not really. The game seems... Basically, it feels like... I keep trying to, and you can get abilities that, turn you invisible, because which is supposed to like represent your guy being so sneaky, like sort of I guess Jason Bourne like that he just is just fades into the shadows. Except it really just turns out you're just fucking invisible.
You're actually, invisible.
Like, it's really
well, actually
weird.
Actually, wearing an invisibility.
Yeah, but it's
cloak.
Not like a spy device. It's, you know what I mean? Like it's just
Well, welcome to making an RPG and not caring about how it fits with your fiction.
Yeah, but it's weird because now the trend in this kind of action RPG is to make it ostensibly play like an action game. And just those two things don't work together to me most of the time. But anyway, but also it just doesn't feel like you have to take forever to line up a shot. And then once you do, as soon as you pull the trigger once, your reticle blows up again. And like, you just can't hit anything even fucking 2 feet away. Like, it's just weird. I'm sure you can level shit up, but it doesn't feel right. Anyway, the conversation stuff is really cool.
That's what I keep hearing is the conversation stuff is really good.
I really, really like it.
Is the dialogue any good?
So the dialogue's kind of hit and miss, but when it's good, it's a pretty good, like, kind of Bourne Supremacy, like, that trilogy style of political thriller.
Because, I mean, the only...
Which is good. I mean, there's good stuff in it.
The only strong impression I have of that game is, like, the video trailer that they released of, like, the sexy German lady that has, like, pink sunglasses and, like, the edge of her bra sticking out of her shirt and stuff. And she's just, like, that super awful female character from stuff like this that's just, like, making sexual innuendo towards you while holding a really big gun constantly. And it's just, like, the worst thing. Like, I wouldn't be able to stomach
that's
that
probably,
at all.
I haven't gotten to that yet, but that's probably bad. I'll let you know. I haven't seen that trailer. But
you should watch the trailer.
Maybe I will. Or maybe I'll just wait till I get
there. It's a thing.
But there's a weird...
So
but
how
no, the
does
conversation
the dialogue
stuff is good.
Work in that?
Well, it's real time, which I really like. So once you...
Like Mass Effect? Or
no,
like
no. Mass Effect is just once...
More like,
you have infinite time
Effect
to answer a question in Mass Effect.
Like,
oh, that's true.
In Alpha Protocol, there's a default... Your character will default to a response, be it like aggressive or professional or suave or whatever. I mean, the catchphrase they kept using was either Bourne or Bauer or Bond. Although it doesn't, you don't think about it in those terms when you're playing. And you know, if you don't select one that isn't the one that's already selected, he'll just say what's already selected. Otherwise, you have to select it by the time it gets there. And it works really well, and it makes the conversations flow in a way that actually is believable as opposed to most games.
The point of comparison I've heard is Indigo Prophecy.
Yeah,
I don't
they had that sort of
yeah like that's I forgot about that.
I don't think I ever played far enough into that game to actually do very much dialogue.
No,
but
I gave up on that game at a certain point, but I like how it works in this game, and there is a lot of genuine choice in the game. I mean, you can do things in the missions that actually affect the building narrative of the game in like genuinely meaningful ways, which is really cool. And there's a lot of cool interplay between the various handlers that talk you through their missions and earn reputation with them. And you can buy intel on missions that can help you out. I mean, there's a lot of really cool interlocking systems that I really like. It's just that, as in a lot of games that try to do this kind of thing, the just fundamental core run around and shoot guys is just janky as hell. Just not, I don't really enjoy it. But I like the other stuff enough that I'm pushing through. But anyway, there's a weird the thing that made me think of this game in the first place off that previous discussion was that there's a really weird thing about
there's this shopkeeper who hates Jewish people.
There's a really weird
that's kind of fucked up.
Of
you mean like the one from Resident Evil 4?
Oh yeah,
that guy was such an anti-Semite. I mean, you had to kind of be listening to the tone of his voice, but it was obvious.
That's true.
When he said, "What are you buying?" You knew.
Yeah,
you knew what he meant.
I'll buy that for a high price. Come on. So how is it like Red Dead Redemption in real life?
Well, it's not like it, but that reminded me of it.
There's a lasso in it.
The character creation, you can
make a cowboy.
Your guy can either be
you can have a
basically
cowboy
a like I don't know 20 something like Gap ad douche, or you can be Fidel Castro. Like
those are the two options.
That's the binary.
That's
yes.
It. There's no.
Yes.
There's no.
Because,
oh, wait, that's not character customization. That is you select
Gapad or Castro.
Gapad douche.
No, but you do
G-A
like
douche. Is there like a sliding scale? Castro. Like when the guy bulks up and the beard sort of unfurls.
Okay, no. This is how it works. So you have like five different skin tones, except they're all just white dudes. Basically, there's like five different haircuts, except they're all like gelled douche. and there are a bunch of hats, and they're all. Basically, like, you could see a hipster wearing them or a Central American dictator wearing them. And then there's the beard. And that's it. Like, you've either got a fucking, just, you've got a bearded man with a fucking douchey goatee, or you've got a fucking beard. You've got a Castro situation. And there's just no, like, you're, it, if you, so there's a few variables here. You can kind of create a, an amalgam of these two characters. If you don't wear a hat, but you do wear the Castro beard, you look like a hipster with a fake Castro beard.
Like, because none like, of the like a guy that would be riding like a fixed gear bike.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. None of the hairstyles remotely match this beard. They're all close cropped, like really modern hairstyles. None of them look like they're on the same person because they're not even the same shade of color. And so it looks like you're wearing a comedy beard.
I don't think I've ever seen, I don't think I've seen any screenshots of anyone playing this game that didn't have the huge beard and a hat.
But when you put on a hat and dark sunglasses, that's also the only way to obscure
how much of a douche you look like.
Right, exactly. And at that point, you just turn into the actual Central American dictator. And so what it looks like is it looks like the CIA has basically, like, they've gone through their phase of sending in secret agents to assassinate Central American dictators, and now they're recruiting them to actually be agents and sending them to the Middle East. That's what this, like, that's how I feel when I play this game, because
you feel like you're a Central American dictator sent to the Middle East by the CIA. Why isn't this game selling?
They can't shoot more than one bullet in a row without missing.
Those are the only options in your character. Like, it's amazing.
I want to see it after this podcast.
I
want to create an Alpha Protocol character after this podcast, and I'll confirm this shit. Yeah, we'll have a pod blast where I tell our readers whether you're right or not.
Yes, you can. Oh, that Obama.
I don't really, I mean.
Not featured.
What?
What's
his slogan? Yes, you can create. Okay.
Sorry.
South American dictator in Alpha Protocol.
But yeah, it's a weird thing. And the game is not, it's not a goofy game or not deliberately goofy.
You look like Dude Bro from the NeoGAF game. Right. Possibly.
Well, because, and the reason that Red Dead reminded me of this is because.
Red Dead reminded
me. I knew you were going to say that. You can do things like in the training mission when you're learning how to throw a grenade. Nick Brecken discovered this on accident. You can sort of angle a grenade up and it'll go through a window in the observation room and like land in your instructor's area and explode. And then he just starts screaming. And then you can pan the camera, the third person game, right, back around. Just look at your dark sunglasses, like beret wearing huge beard guy staring stone faced into the camera as you hear just the background. It's the best thing.
That is an awesome
video.
So
that is what I was reminded of, and I had to explain all that to get there.
I approved of that video that Nick posted.
That's amazing. Oh, I didn't see that Nick posted that.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
You'll surely link it in the blog.
Sure. It's on Nick's Twitter account, Ratso Fatso Rat.
So fast.
A very convenient thing to remember. But it's a game with stuff that makes me want to play it more. I might reach a point in it where it just gets too, you know, just get tired of shooting the exact same guy for the 8 millionth time.
You should probably just try to find some, you know, golden path in the upgrade thing that just makes it super
easy. I
think
there are definitely those, because some of the, I mean, like I said, like right now I have one where I automatically turn invisible when a guy sees me if I have a thing activated, kind of. I don't really understand how it works.
That work
I don't really know. But you can keep upgrading it and get to the point where you turn on invisibility and just stay invisible some period of time.
Never mind.
Hey, what are you doing? Oh.
Well, it's just nobody here. And like some of the
even
AI
in conversation mode,
idiotic,
you're invisible.
Like,
hey, so I was wondering. Oh, you disappeared. I guess you're hiding really well.
Well, that's what it's like to play this game, because it just doesn't seem like the combat ever is one sort of complete system that all works together. It's like, now it wants to be Metal Gear, but oh, then you fuck up, but oh, then you can't really.
Hey, check out that beard guy. He's like, gone.
I don't know. It's just, it's unfocused. The combat.
Well, even just the, I mean, when it says be Bauer, Bond, or Born, like, those are three very complex systems.
Very different like, systems, yeah.
To get those to both deliver and then interlock.
Yeah.
Bold.
It's, I mean, difficult. And in general, I mean, if I were to play this game, I don't know if I will anytime soon, but like, knowing this.
You're playing it now.
Oh, this is a pretty cool
game. We're all about to disappear as soon as you notice us.
Where'd you guys go?
See, good job. Good job. Look at that.
Just like, not actually trying to interface with any of the stealth or non-complete aggro gameplay is probably the easiest way to sort of delete that those systems. Like, I mean, that's been my experience with like playing System Shock 2. If you just go, if you just roll a Marine and go full weapons and kill everything, you have a way easier time than trying to be a hacker with psi powers. Well, or like when I played, like when I tried to play Deus Ex, like when it first came out. I mean, I did, and I probably played it for like 20 or 30 hours and didn't finish it, and I basically quit when I had crawled through my 700th air duct and was just like tired of trying to stealth past everything and tired of having to quick save all the time because if a dude shot me or detected me, I had to reload and shit. And then years later, I was like, I think I am actually going to finish Deus Ex. And at the beginning, I, when they offer you which weapon do you want, I was like,
murderer.
I'll take the rocket launcher. And I was just like full aggro for the entire game, way smoother sailing. And so probably if you were just like whatever, an auto shotgun and grenade man or something, you would get through this a lot more easily.
No, it's totally true, because I keep, the thing is, in Alpha Protocol, at least with the skills I have now, and I suspect once I become fully invisible, I can get around this. But right now, it's like
gliding. No, once I become fully invisible, Alpha Protocol is actually not a game; it's a cult. Chris has joined.
But no matter how hard I try to actually pull off the stealth thing, it's not even an issue of like, oh, another duct. It's literally just like, oh, fuck me. Something happened and now a million guys are running at me. And it's just, I guess I'll just shoot them. Why don't I just do that in the first place? Plus, there are all the upgrades are discreetly placed, or all the pickups are discreetly placed. There's like huge flashing UI things in the world all over this game, which suggests to me that someone failed in making things readable.
Or he's just borrowing the glasses from
Heavy Rain.
From Heavy Rain guys. So, you know.
Oh, there's some pollen over here.
But yeah, it means that the only way to actually get all the money and like intel and stuff is just to eradicate everyone and then walk around the level and pick everything up. So
that's what I like to do.
Does he eat them?
No.
Is there respawning if you eradicate everyone? Do more guys appear? No. Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I like that.
No, it works. It's just not fun. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? It's not enjoyable to do that.
But that's, but I don't know. Is it, I guess in Alpha Protocol, if it's not, it's not. But that's also generally how I play stealth games.
As a spy, that's not what I want to do.
I guess when I play, yeah, probably. When I played like Chaos Theory, for instance, or like a Metal Gear Solid game, I will be just sneaky enough so that I can creep up behind guys and headshot them. And then I'll just like clear out everyone in the area by picking them all off one by one, and then just walk around cleaning everything up, basically. Because that's
exactly how I play.
Yeah,
I've been playing Arkham that way.
It's way more satisfying than leaving guys alive and having to like track them and hope they don't see you later or whatever.
I was going to mention Arkham Asylum, actually, because if this game, and this is a tall order, I mean, that's a really
this game was
unusually
Arkham,
good game, but like if that game had stealth that was more along the lines of Arkham Asylum, where it fills in a lot of those gaps for you, and just that's
the polite stealth game.
Well, the blend between stealth and action in Arkham is pitch perfect.
Yeah, it is. Like, but it's basically
the guns are just powerful enough to like, if that guy's got a gun, you're like, okay, shit, I gotta treat this guy differently than that guy who doesn't have a gun.
Yeah,
and that's so rare in video games.
It is really rare.
Like,
and it's,
how is that rare? But like, if a guy has a machine gun in Arkham, it lets you know that he will F you right up, and I love that. Oh,
I basically if someone theoretically made a game that had that sort of basic combat kind of building blocks of Arkham Asylum with all of the cool dialogue and stuff of Alpha Protocol, and it was a spy, that would be a fucking success times a bajillion to me. That would be really hard, I'm sure, for a million reasons. But, you know, Alpha Protocol is a straight up just mission-based game. You can choose the order.
You're not in a haunted asylum of villains?
No, it's not an open world at all.
It's a who's who of villains?
But
Are there any gargoyles?
Not yet. I'm going to Moscow next. So maybe
there
must be.
Well,
well, depends.
No, what
year is it?
Like now year.
The year 2014.
I think it's present day. Maybe. Let's all agree.
It's probably present day.
I'm going to assume it's like the year 2015 so that they can say they made up new gadgets between now
and then. You have those bionic eyes that see drops.
Well, you also have the hey you there invisibility cloak, apparently.
I mean, it's
that's just his skills.
It tries to be pretty current. Like there's a really big defense contractor.
Like there's a Nokia phone
called Halbeck. So it's, you know, it's pretty clear what they're,
what's that referring
like the
to?
Themes they're dealing with.
It's referring to the BP oil spill.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah. Wow. They are on, they like have some sort of,
they predicted that actually.
Yeah. Oh,
they caused it. It's viral.
Updated.
It's viral.
What? Remember that time when they talk about the junk shot
in Alpha Protocol?
Yeah.
Weird.
Doesn't work. I just wanted to say junk shot on the outside.
The skill, they didn't level it up enough.
The word junk shot totally reminds me of taking a break, actually.
Yeah, let's do that.
Junk shot.
Take one of those.
Let's take a
junk shot.
Oh, I didn't say it.
You did say it three times.
I said, let's take a, and then I was going to say junk shot.
Video game.
I gotta not throw any. Nothing can be within me.
That's the new theme song.
Down here at the docks, recording an on-site light idle thumbs.
Hey,
it's the HMS Jake.
Oh no, that tugboat is beatboxing.
That's my jug band jug.
Shit.
Oh no, why is that? Oh no, that'd be all fucking sweet.
Because that probably means there's something wrong with it. The tugboat isn't supposed to do that.
There's something wrong with the universe. That tugboat is beatboxing. End times. Sky rips open. That's the first sign.
Time actually. Paradox.
Yeah.
Tugboat's only beatbox in the future. Fuck. Yep.
Cthulhu comes out.
Of the tugboat.
Mm-hmm. Man, I was reading. I got to the point of thinking reading Cthulhu stuff would be sweet in a super circuitous way today, because somebody linked, maybe Lee Alexander like retweeted somebody linking list of unidentified sounds on Wikipedia, and it's just like stuff that submarines or something had detected these sounds, and they couldn't determine what the source was. Like it was too loud to be a creature, but there was no known like other like geological source for it or whatever. And so one of them is way down like south of South America, like
South America way.
Well, yeah, like between the south tip of South America and Antarctica, Tierra just like Fuego. Basically, I forget, there was a name for the point in the ocean that's furthest from land, and it's like right near there. And there's just some weird, like super low frequency kind of like hum sound that is coming from there. That they can't identify the source for. And
the internet thinks it's like Cthulhu.
On the like notes on it, it was like in H.P. Lovecraft's short story, The Call of Cthulhu, the like ancient sunken city in which Cthulhu is entombed is said to be in that spot, you know, that's like the furthest spot from land. And so they're like, that's the sound of Cthulhu sleeping beneath the waves. And then there were like excerpts talking about it being in that place. And it's
have you never
kind
actually
awesome.
Just gone and read it? Like,
I've never read any Lovecraft.
I've never read any.
You should just pick up an anthology of Lovecraft short stories.
I actually have them, and I haven't read them.
Some of it's not good.
Yeah, I have an anthology too, and I've never read it.
I got the book that is like Call of Cthulhu and other stories.
Yeah, I have that same book.
I haven't read it yet.
Video game. Us not having any idea what we're going to talk about on the podcast.
I'm shitting bricks over it already.
Bricks are being pooped.
Steve's ass is a brick factory. You're looking for an alien ship to park your bricks.
It's a brick house.
Is it a
crafting
ship that
one
you're interested
slowly.
In?
Steve's crafting a brick house?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Video
games. All my music,
and now it's
all my music
talking
class.
About video games. Oh, it's making you sound like this.
Nintendo Wii's fault.
This is Phaedrus.
This is Phaedrus. I require money in the rocket mail. This is Phaedrus. Phaedrus here.
Phaedrus, stop calling me.
Where's Phaedrus? It's your brother,
no,
Phaedrus.
No,
let's hope it's all Phaedrus.
I didn't think it
was Phaedrus.
Phaedrus, stop calling me.
I'm sorry, Phaedrus.
This is a Phaedrus Christmas special.
All Phaedrus.
Phaedrus.
Hi, Phaedrus. I just was wondering if you were going to bring the pecan pie this year.
No, don't for call me. I'll put it in the rocket mail. Phaedrus out.
Phaedrus out.
Goodbye. Don't forget to call Mom. Don't forget to call Phaedrus. Mom.
You mean Phaedrus?
Yeah, of course I mean Phaedrus.
What the fuck?
It's a fucking Phaedrus family reunion on this podcast.
Phaedrus. A fucking Phaedrus,
Phaedrus
family festival.
Video
and we're back!
Chris,
hey,
last time I was here,
famous.
I asked you at length about Neptune's Pride.
Oh, yeah.
Have
you played that
game? I've been
to
the mountaintop. I've been there. I know all about
Steve is in sit back mode.
Yeah, Steve, a strategy game is meant to
be. Steve,
retires.
I hate strategizing, and anyone that plays a strategy game.
Oh, man.
Fuck off.
Back in chair.
Well, he's got
he actually does physically recline when we talk about a strategy game.
It's
because really
Steve's just basking in the strategy.
Yeah,
it's strategy basking more
it's
than
it's the raise.
Steve
of...
probably emulates some of our listeners in that respect.
We're like, oh, strategy bask.
What's funny is that like the they second time we played Imperial,
posting on NeoGAF during that part.
You were in that chair actually. You were in lean back fuck strategy chair playing Deadly Premonition.
That was the one that I won.
And we I'll say minute 90. You're like, oh, I'm gonna beat this game now. Stood up and whooped our
Steve
asses.
Just leaned into the game.
Right.
Oh, sorry. I was hearing this 3-hour conversation about Marty McFly in Sheriff Video Games Jeep. Anyway, time to own all of the fucking world of the year 2030.
Steve, what are you doing?
Yeah. If any of you play Imperial 2030, I can share with you a good strategy. It's totally don't pay attention and play a video game for the first hour.
You should rely on this to actually be a consistent strategy.
And then just roll in.
It works once.
You should write an FAQ about that board game.
Let's try it again. I'll do it again. I'll play whatever you want.
Neptune's Pride.
I will not play that piece of shit strategy game. Gosh, I hate them.
Wow, Steve, you should recline for a little while.
Yeah, it's really good.
I haven't played it. I hear it's sweet. Isn't that right?
It's really cool.
I mean, there's a whole narrative that Jake and I can probably tell around.
The Telltale Office rule.
Yeah, could you tell us a tale?
I will tell you a tale, a tall tale of Neptune's Pride, Neptune's Bounty. So I came on the podcast. We had talked about it. I'd seen you play it at your computer, and I was like, oh, this is something I think I would like. So we brought it to Telltale, and we quickly rounded up 8 other dudes, and we're like, okay, we're going to start a game. And but we realized it because it's like at any developer or any job,
place of work. Yeah,
yeah, like you're gonna have friends
in any building.
Like people just assume that Jake and I were gonna be like, you know, thick as thieves. So it's like what we're gonna do is everybody go back to your desk, make up a whole bunch of hilarious.
In reality, you were thick as Steve. I thought that's what you said originally, and then I was confused until I realized what you said.
Weird conversation. Anyway,
two thick scoops.
You stood up. You sat up for that. You took the 3-foot journey from being back for that.
But yeah, so we decided that the office rules were everyone could make up as many weird names as they wanted and throw them in a paper bag, and then each person playing had to pick one name, and it was enjoyable.
It was very fun
to mask.
The names were horrible.
But you came up with the best name, and that's not just because you're my friend.
Lieutenant Olaf von Space Face Ace.
Yes, that was very good.
Yeah, that's all right.
Space Face Ace.
Yeah, Lieutenant Olaf von Space Face Ace.
Yeah,
who was my nemesis and is now my my ally.
I thought you were going to say boss.
Now my boss.
What was that from?
Like a boss. Anyway,
don't worry about that.
See you later.
Saturday Night Live.
I've heard it. I didn't know.
It's stupid. Go ahead. It's fucking.
It's good. It's funny. Yeah. Anyway, so we did that, and it was really great because you would instantly, like, all your diplomacy had to happen over the inbox, and everybody was super inbox-driven, and I would say there's probably, like, 7 or 8 people who decided to just take on their personas, which sounds really lame, but was actually hilarious.
That's a really common thing I've noticed
when
in Neptune's Pride, is to really role-play, like, whatever weird thing they've arbitrarily created. It's really interesting, like, and it always makes me really... Like, I don't ever do that.
We're just like, sweet, all right, here's range.
Well, yeah. No,
see
no,
you guys.
Yeah. People will write me these, like, 8-paragraph things. Right. Like, greetings from the empire of the noble race of the, like...
Zyplex.
Zorgonforgians. We've noticed you are encroaching upon our space territory. Would like to propose a treaty. And they'll go on for just paragraph after paragraph. And then I'll just be like, all right,
yeah,
so
let's do this.
Do you want, like, a tech? And I'll just like, I'll reply with like eight words, and I'm just like, I don't. Like, what do you want me to say to that? This is insane. But it's cool that some people do that, even if it isn't me.
Well, the mix is also kind of hilarious because yeah, I don't know.
It's exactly what happened at Telltale. Was there would be certain people who would do that. But yeah, okay. You just send me like $50, and I'll shoot you over some range. Great.
Right. The Duke is pleased. Like, what? Yeah.
This pleased as the great race of the douche.
Yeah. Yeah.
One guy in the most recent game I played went by the Margraviate of Brandenburg, which was badass. So that was cool.
Yeah, we had nothing.
He died pretty quick, though, so, you know.
Yeah, no. The names are fucking terrible in our game.
There's some good
ones. Our rules, I think, for the next game, though, is that everyone has to write their own name into the bag.
And then you pull in.
So then we'll all just be playing under each other's name. So hopefully people will
really
role play
I'm
as
so
other people in the office, which is what I'm really hoping will happen.
It's
going to
be hilarious. Because this game's about over. We're on like day 22.
You're winning, right?
Yeah.
Day 22?
Yeah.
It's not been 22 days.
It's been 22 days, dude.
Jesus.
Yeah. I have
my
60
life.
Stars.
Time flies when you're playing Neptune's
But
Pride.
Like, I played the political game super hard.
Yeah.
Like, that was my entire strategy was to just, like, and now it's I mean,
Nick now Her- Cindy is in the lead.
Hopefully Nick Herman's not listening to this, but we've got to a point where I was like, Nick,
he listens to Idle Thumbs.
Oh shit, Nick, you're great. But I, you know, we, you're I fucked. Was going
but
to
the carriers are on the way as you listen to this.
I was at one point you were going to destroy me and I totally talked you out of it. And now I'm winning. Cause it was also like the anonymity dissolved over the course. Like it took like probably 10 days.
We knew that was the case. It's kind of like you, yeah. People say you put DRM in your game, not to prevent piracy, but to prevent 0 day piracy. We drew names out of a hat. So that the
0 day office policy. So
yeah, sure, exactly. Yeah. To let people kind of have to reach out.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I treated people.
Who's John Drake? It's, really it's not John Drake.
Because I treated people differently in the inbox diplomacy system much more differently than I would have had I known who they were, which sounds terrible, but it's completely true.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, you have that. You have less of that personal connection that you immediately, your brain can't help but jump to.
Right, well, even more so, the moment they respond to you, I'm like, oh, this is Carl. So I just, I'm talking, I'm like, oh, Carl and I are tight. Like, I'm like, I'm just going to talk to him like it's Carl. And then it's not Carl.
Oh, then it's fucking Dracula.
Yeah, then it's Dracula.
Anyway, games.
But yeah, it's a really, I mean, there's, I like any game like that. And I mean, I came on here and made a joke about how I like Survivor as a TV show, but, and as a game, but I like any game that marries up almost 50-50, the kind of abstract political social game with sort of very pragmatic strategy and or physical, where you just have to like be faster or be smarter. And those two things together, it makes a perfect game for me.
The actual systems in Neptune's Pride are very simple. They're about as bare bones as you can get in the strategy world. But the like metagame layers have the potential to be huge. It's really interesting. I've had a weird curve with that game because the first game I played, which was the one I played with Nick and some other kind of internet kind
game
of game
bloggers
circle guys, was cool the moments. Most intense and eventually unpleasant experience I've had playing this game by the end. And I've now realized after playing two or three more games
unpleasant?
Since then, mainly because of Nick, I now realized.
Why? What did Nick do?
Nick is the most competitive dude I know in games. And I know this because we play StarCraft together.
Yeah.
Beta's over now.
He's a master.
Well, he's good. He's better than I am. But it's not even so much that. It's more just Nick loves to win strategy games.
Yeah.
Nick hates to lose strategy games a lot.
Yeah.
So he will go to like whatever length is necessary to ensure that happening. And so in Neptune's Pride, we were allied for the whole game. And I just took second place.
But you knew it was him.
Yeah. We were personally allied, like because we knew each other. It was the exact scenario people worry about with you and Jake.
Except that I'm shit at that game.
Yeah.
Jake's really bad at Neptune's Pride.
Well, that's not surprising.
So invite him to your game and defeat
him. I did really well at the beginning, but then I spread myself too thin and then my galaxy was eaten away. I have one star left.
I have a question for you about Neptune's Pride when you're done.
Okay. So that game with Nick was just... Because Nick was fucking cutthroat. Like, that guy was playing every angle, like, just exploiting every advantage he could find. Like... It was intense. I would find myself constantly checking the game all day.
For example, just kind of like take an inch, like, oh, I'm just going to take the star. Don't worry about it. Or like,
yeah, he would make people the most exploitative deals and then go back on them and be like, oh yeah, dude, we'll be cool. It'll be cool. Like, we'll trade some stuff. We'll be allies. It'll be great. We want to. And then like, he will just take some of their stars and they'll be like, what's wrong? And he's like, oh, sorry. No, I don't know. Here, how about this? I'll just take a few more and then we'll be cool. We'll be good. And they'd be like, I guess so. Like, anyways, Nick was like an abusive relationship with everyone in that game. Except for me. And he probably would have been with me if I actually tried to, like, usurp his sort of like
one
his
star orga- had been
his
taken.
Ordained like first place finish. Like, I don't know, it was really weird. It was a
but
weird
he,
experience.
And he won.
Oh, he totally fucking won. And I had like
did it creep
basically,
you out?
Between the two of us, we had like every star in the game at the end.
Did it make you feel differently about Nick?
No, not at all. Because went back to playing StarCraft and it was really fun. Because in StarCraft, we're just straight up on the same 2v2.
Did it feel kind of gross?
I think if I were in his position, it would have felt gross because he had to do some seriously like deceptive shit.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't know if I have it in. I don't really have it in me to be that much of a backstabber.
So you'll never rule a galaxy.
It's funny because the game does bring it out of you. Like,
but just
very
like
clearly.
Observing him do these things to make you
well,
be
yeah,
like,
and sort of being part
friend.
Of that. We also never for the entire game acknowledged we were in an alliance. We never actually formed an alliance officially in the game system. So it took people actually an extremely long time to realize we were in one. And that was also exploited.
Weird, those two Idle Thumbs guys are playing on the same team.
Well, but see, they all also thought they were allied with Nick, and like, you know what I mean? Oh. Like, it was just, it was weird.
Jake disabled official allies, which I thought was really interesting.
It's interesting to have it there, because then you can have
because when you're in the same office, because then it's like, we are in an alliance, and I know who you are. Yeah. So I just like, casually get up from my desk, walk past John Drake, and just down the hall, and I like, wrap my knuckle on the back of Nick Herman's door. I'm like, yo, you got a second? Can I look at your map? I mean, because, you know, I know you can see his star system. I just want to know what his home star was.
Right.
You know, that
does
like,
add an even weirder.
Yeah, there's like, I don't need to have that alliance to see what his scanning range
that's
can
like,
see.
That's like,
I can just go to
encrypted channels. Like, other you know,
yeah.
people in the star system don't realize you're communicating. But.
Like, we had people because.
It's like encrypted channels.
Most of Telltale is in a pit. It's just. You know, like any developer, it's just flat and you can go to anybody's computer and like people can see whatever I'm doing all the time. And I apologize. But we had people create other games that they like, they would just get into social games or get into free games, like just dummy games, because they didn't want you to come by their desk and see. Yeah, it was pretty like Tully did that. Like, that, I thought that was like bold. That was a really smart move. Like, no, I got like four games going. You didn't even know which one this is. I don't know which one this is. Yeah, it's really good.
That's really good. He just have a doctor a screenshot of one.
We also make video games.
Controls
I have entire time. Look, this one, I'm the best.
This is wallpaper.
I can see the desktop icons over that. Tell you, shut up.
You're actually you're wiring that level right now. So I don't know why. Interesting.
The like physical interplay, like the physical space of this game all existing in one office makes it sound way more interesting than it probably would be.
You'll just hear people be like, so I'm going after Dracula. And then, who the fuck, do you know who Dracula is?
Yeah.
No, but he's going down. I'm like, what?
I like what it must be for the non-Neptune's Pride players in the office. Do you know who Dracula is? No, man, I'm trying to fake.
Well,
know.
The worst is that it's like, who's Deputy Director Dausch? And like, oh, there's some names that I'm not even going to say on Idle Thumbs because I'll have to admit.
Ooh, like what?
What?
Like Princess Meat Flaps.
That's
who is being played by Bonnie.
So we have a customer service woman,
customer service person, Bonnie.
Bonnie, who's a
she's
sweetheart.
Like, oh yeah, I'll play this.
She's
game.
Like a mom of the.
And then she draws.
Studio.
Yeah, but then she revealed that she wrote that one.
And we're always gonna like, ooh,
oh Jesus,
God, I'm fine.
I hadn't heard that. I heard that she got it, but I didn't.
Yeah, she revealed that way later.
That's
funny.
Yeah, there's
so
good stories. Good stories.
I actually just won my first game of Neptune's Pride.
Congratulations! You control the galaxy.
Yeah, no, it was actually until the end when it always gets intense in every game. Until that point, it was the most laid back game of Neptune's Pride I had yet, and it was basically because I just played like the United States in World War II and just waited until the absolute last moment to get involved in any real conflict. Like, I would just sort of, you know, guys would give up and leave because they knew they were going to lose, and then I'd grab some of their stars. You know what I mean?
Oh, interesting.
But I wouldn't actually.
So like, you were Steve playing Deadly Premonition,
right?
And then just rolling in with like, oh, also I've been accumulating a lot of stuff because I've just been sort of
And then once Murder. All of a sudden, like, I was allied with this one other guy, and then there were three other players allied against us, assuming us two were allied, which we were. And eventually, at a certain point, they were right about to attack me, and this was like that moment in time that crystallized the future. Like, for some reason, due to some weird like perceptions that shifted, all of a sudden they just focused fully on attacking my ally instead of me. And at that point, I just went totally hands off. And this turned in, like, the thing about Neptune's Pride is it creates fucking blood feuds. Like, once you start getting into a prolonged.
Right, you'll just murder all ships.
You get so entrenched.
And you get pissed. You get so, because you'll think you made a good move, and then you'll wake up the next morning and you just lost five more stars because they got you in the middle of the night, and you get like personally furious at these people.
Have you done that, by the way? Where you set the alarm for like 3:15 in the morning?
I've never set an alarm. I've definitely never set an alarm, but I definitely
had situations
where as soon as I got out of bed, that was the first thing I did. I had that when I was playing with Nick. This game, I didn't really because I paid really close care not to get in those
Da Vinci
situations.
Sleep. It was terrible. Yeah. Carry on.
And so I was like watching this, and it was fascinating because these people were going at it like much longer than it was in their interest to do so, right? Like at a certain point, they should have just started attacking me or someone else or something, you know, but it was just, they were, so, I mean, I'm putting words in their mouth. Like, I mean, this is
how
it
idiots.
This is how it appeared from my perspective, right, is that they just got locked into this situation where they just couldn't, it was like the point of no return. And they basically just ate all of each other alive. And then I basically marched in at that point and just started rolling over everything.
That's such, it's so funny. It's such a different strategy than anybody has had in our, like, Bonnie, actually, of all people, had one star left.
And they're probably all listening to this.
That nobody wanted to go after.
Sorry, guys.
No, it'll be over by whenever this comes out.
Well, I mean, the one that I played, they were all
oh, those people. Suckers. Yeah, too bad, guys. But
Chris thinks you're all fools.
Yeah, God, you guys are retarded.
Everyone was really nice.
Oops.
We had, well, the customer service woman, Bonnie, who didn't really understand
the customer service woman.
I don't know how to describe her. I mean, a friend. Like, she's very friendly.
Customer service friend.
The human being. The non-gendered human being.
No. Nerd. She's like.
Her name's Bonnie. Whatever,
she
man.
Sits between, like, kind of you and I. Like, Jake and I sit kitty corner to each other, and she has to, like, if I say, Jake, this fucking sucks, or God, you're a douche. Like, she is transmitting that. Like, she has to hear
through
that.
Her ears.
Yeah.
Her ear canal.
But she had one planet with like 100 planet with 100 dudes on it left. Yeah. Like, and but she was her only star. But her home star just sat there with 100. And she's like, I don't really know what else to do. I'm not really good at this game. I don't understand it. But she's just like accruing like 100. And then I'm looking at the next day, and she's like 106. I'm like, oh Jesus Christ, there's like 100. She's got 110 guys, 110 little mans on this planet. They can do some damage. So I had to like take Bonnie aside and be like, hey, Bonnie, I know you haven't logged in for like 2 days, but I need you to do something for me. Like, and I gave her like a whole talk. And I was like, you like want to go to coffee or something? Like, you can talk this over. Like,
I was replying her.
Yeah. Like, I sent her, like, I ended up sending her like $150, which is, you know, 6 upgrades of tech.
Did you also give her anything in the game?
What do you mean? No. I gave her $150 so I could win this game.
Uh-huh.
It's very important to me.
So she could buy 25% of a PlayStation 3 4 years ago.
Yes, or half of one today.
Right.
Or 75% of a new iPhone next week. Anyway. And she ended up sending them towards my enemy after, like, I had to butter her up and, like, really, like, be like, come on, like, I need you to just log in and, like, maybe we'll just move some guys and I'll show you how to do this. And it's great. It's so good. But, like, being able to manipulate, sorry, Nick, a bunch of people in the office to your will in a fictional setting.
Has this affected your development? Like,
only because I'm not on projects with them.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't think I'm on a, I mean, you and I are on the same project, but, like, whatever. You're an asshole, so I don't have to worry about it. I'm looking at Jake. Jake, yeah, I'm looking at Steve.
Just for the record, that was Sean Famous Vanneman saying that, not me, readers.
Yeah, but we're friends. Jake. We're high-fiving right now. Now we're hugging.
All right, anyway.
Oh, what are you doing now? Oh,
no.
Stop that.
Gross.
Should we stop talking about Neptune's Pride now?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry,
I think
guys.
We are done talking
if anybody is not interested in Neptune's Pride had to listen to this, I apologize.
We do, though, have Nick Brecken here to talk about Hearts of Iron 3.
Nick, oh, hey.
Hey, Nick Brecken.
Hey, Nick Brecken.
Wait, let's listen to Nick.
And I'm Nick Brecken.
Oh, it's Nick, so he doesn't have a lot to say.
I don't really know Nick.
You don't have anything to do with
it. You were never on the same podcast.
Actually, Nick. I'm going to go. Let's grab like a beer or something while Nick is here.
Hey, guys. Thanks.
Oh, hey, Nick. What's up?
Welcome.
All the way back from Bethesda.
Cool.
Here to talk about a video game.
Sweet. Great.
What,
we talked about
what video game, Nick?
Hearts of Iron 3. It's by Paradox, the guys that make, Victoria and all those other. AAA games.
Yeah.
You may have heard of Hearts of Iron 3. It's
oh, yeah.
While you were clicking around on the Steam store and
Steam store.
And maybe you accidentally clicked on a button that you didn't mean to and there it was. And maybe you saw, a lot of numbers and you went, I don't know if that's a game that I can play. There aren't a whole lot of graphics. But I if you are a big fan of strategy games, I would definitely recommend it. It's a World War II game.
I'm leaning back.
Like all great video games. It's probably the most technically impressive strategy game I've ever played. It models everything.
What?
What? Everything? No.
Yeah. Anyway. Actually, probably the funniest part. When it first loads, it takes forever. And while it's doing the whole the SimCity thing where it's, reticulating splines and loading. Actually, one of the messages is adapting history. Which
it doesn't really
great.
Adapt
but then
history.
Over top of all of this is this horrible mini recreation of Flight of the Valkyries, and it's just it's terrible. And then also it feels incredibly
it's like flying toasters,
incredibly terrifying, because you know that you're about to get destroyed by this game and its crazy spreadsheet of doom.
That sounds like my kind of game.
Steve Gaynor.
Steve, you hate this
is
game.
Born from
Steve just sat up to hear that. I know, right?
It is funny.
Right. Yeah. What? Wait, what was that last thing you said?
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. What saves it, though? What makes it playable?
I was just going to ask you.
It's the kind of game that is, it's like a class.
Well, you
sit there, and I had the free strategy guide and the manual on my left monitor. And in the game on my right monitor, and
that's really sounds.
I didn't
like my
really
kind
have the courage to hit on pause for probably 3 days. You know, I just sat there staring, kind of just incredibly intimidated, reading about things like how the weather affects a specific battle, barometric pressure, flying at this time of night is better for the B-17, and all this crazy
Jesus.
Shit
the video game?
that you don't really need to know. To just start in, but it is like a class. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it. And so, you know, when I did eventually hit on pause, the thing that I learned was that really it's a game of doling out specific responsibilities to the AI. And that's
so
what
like
saves
being
it
a boss.
From becoming this insane,
like being a boss.
You know, complex game that you can never break into. You have control over whether you want the AI to handle almost every facet of the game, right on down to... Say you're playing as the United States and you don't want to deal with the war in the Pacific. You can say, okay, Commander so-and-so, you handle the war in the Pacific.
MacArthur.
I'm going to just micromanage the invasion of France. And the units will pretty reliably coordinate invasions, defenses, all based on your direction. And in that way, it really acts as... A pretty accurate simulation of what it's like to be a world leader at that time. I mean, one example is that I was playing as the United States, and it was about 1939, I think, and Germany was invading Poland and taking over
like
the world.
They do.
And every country has a neutrality rating and a threat rating. And so, as the United States, Germany's threat rating was sort of medium-ish. It wasn't that high yet, and my neutrality rating was off the charts, which is of course historically accurate.
It was insanely
but I hadn't done
neutral.
Anything to try and affect that. I didn't have neutral. Hoover intimidating the populace or anything like that. So I had a big problem. I couldn't go to war, and for about 2 years I was pulling my hair out because I had all these bombers and hundreds of thousands of reserve troops just sitting around, and I couldn't enter the war because my population wouldn't allow it, and that to me is really what makes a great strategy.
I like the population
game
of the country
is
not
drama.
Letting you play the video
game. Those little moments
like, no, you
where
can't start
you're
yet.
Playing out something that, albeit on a much less serious scale, something that happened historically or events that that are similar to things that happened historically.
IRL.
And you're being put through the same scenarios that somebody else had to deal with. It's FDI. It really I think
I'll go to Korea.
The dramatic element of strategy games is kind of is something that a lot of people don't think about, but to me it's more effective often than dramatic content in say shooters or other genres of games.
Shooters, Steve. They suck. Really, that's fascinating. So what was the name of the game again?
Hearts of Iron 3.
God damn it.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the correct name.
So I think it's, while it is incredibly complex, once it clicks that you can use the AI to your advantage and simplify the game to the sort of degree of difficulty that you can handle, it becomes fairly manageable. And I think anybody that looks at this game as... Or games like it as sort of the Mount Everest of strategy games, should give it a try because it's not that challenging, particularly if you do your homework.
What?
And
the best
read the
5 minutes
manual,
of just...
which if you like strategy games, you should be used to. So, in any case, I've got to go back to Bethesda and you know, make some more video games. But I'll catch you later.
Hey, it was really good talking to you, Nick.
Congrats, Nick.
Hopefully we can meet sometime.
Fuck you, Nick.
So that was the first time in all of Idle Thumbs that Nick Brecken was allowed to tell a complete story or finish a complete thought uninterrupted.
I wouldn't say uninterrupted.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But I mean, he was able to soldier on.
He got to the end.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Congrats, Nick.
I actually want to say, sort of agree briefly with tape-recorded Nick Brecken about a thing he mentioned.
That was real, Nick.
I don't know if it fully.
Whoa.
I don't know if that part fully came through, but he was basically talking about how strategy, even though these days, like when people talk about immersion, they generally talk about sort of being actually in a like real-time immersive situation where you're a character in a world doing like physical actions to things. I agree that a lot of the most effective and interesting and like narratively fulfilling moments in games can be in strategy games particularly historical strategy games, when you are put in situations that have resonance because they happened in our world or didn't. And you understand like when certain things happen because the game systems actually cause them to happen and simulate them in such a way that you're like, oh my God, this is why this actual thing that happened 60 years ago happened. It's because these factors interplayed with each other in this system that was like the global, you know, military political situation of the time. And
so it's like a class.
It's kind of like a
class. Well, the more you put into it.
Oh, well, that's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what we all meant.
You guys need to just lay off Nick Brecken. Just saying.
But yeah. But
there's also there's a time investment thing that I think allows you like to have an emotional connection to a strategy game that I find... like,
did you just hurt your eye by opening it too wide at
me? Yeah, I stared at you for too long for making fun of Nick, and then my eye dried out a little bit.
But I was playing Civ 4... my iPhone of all places, but I was playing a more like long form game that I just was like, oh, this would be really cool to play Civ 4 for like a month on my iPhone, like just on bus rides and whatever.
Wait, Civ Rev or Civ?
Oh, Civ Rev. That's what I meant on my iPhone. Sorry. And I was like on a bus at like 2:30 in the morning with my roommate.
Yeah.
And like I'm sitting there just kind of staring at my iPhone, and then he sees me go, oh, fuck the fucking Mongols, man. And then like two people turn around on the bus. Got this like, you know, crazy homeless guy in the back with an iPhone screaming about the Mongols. And I was like, what's the deal, man? I was like, dude, I've been fucking these guys for 2 weeks, man. 2 fucking weeks. And like, it's you get an emotional reaction to kind of like, because you have a long form investment in whatever sort of thing you're trying to accomplish in the game that I think is like narratively really interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, the reason
like,
is
I like telling those stories. So like, that's good.
Yeah. I agree with you. And I think that particular emotion is more common in the less historically accurate strategy games and more on the blank slate ones, of which Civ is one. Because isn't about like an actual realistic path of history. Yeah. It's about,
it's not what the Mongols actually
a 100%
did.
Alternative history. And Neptune's,
well, they flew to space. So.
But Neptune's Pride is the same way. Like, because it is such a blank slate and everyone starts basically on the same blank playing field. The game isn't asserting anything. Like
it's a sequel to Civ, actually.
When you play a first-person shooter or a third-person action game or whatever, the game itself is asserting things about these different players in the world, these NPCs and you and everything else. Like, the game is deciding this happens here. Like, this system governs where this guy spawns because of this. And like, this fits into this narrative this way. Whereas in a blank slate strategy game, like Neptune's Pride or Civilization or something, that shit just emerges because it does. Like, there's nothing, it hasn't been tipped to resolve one way and put you through any particular narrative or even branch of narratives or anything. Like, when something happens, when you end up in that war with the Mongols, it's not based on anything other than just whatever factors, be they random or not, like, have conspired to make this game end up here. The fucking Mongols have been kicking your ass. Like, and I mean, that to me is really interesting. And it's kind of unique to strategy games. I don't know of any other, what?
It's magical.
It's magical.
It's not magical.
So interesting as it is magical.
That's true. It is more magical than interesting. But yeah. And then Hearts of Iron is more on the other kind of end of the strategy spectrum, where it's putting you in a particular historical like context, you know, that actually happened, and then saying, what would you do here? And you can affect those events, but a little bit more within, it's almost more of like, how would you deal with this if this actually happened? Whereas Civ is like, anything can happen. Right. What happens next? We'll see.
This is a weird question to ask, but this is the way Nick described it while he was with us.
Yeah.
Made the interaction density seem really low, like him waiting to get into the game and things like this.
I think you can ratchet up how – I haven't played it yet myself, but I plan to now after talking to Nick about it. You can
on this podcast.
Well, yeah, also off it. But you can ratchet up and down how much the AI does stuff. So you can micromanage every single thing in the game if you want. Or you can offload a lot of it to your AI, like generals and stuff, and just focus on the particular things you're interested in.
Yeah.
And a game like Total War series is kind of like that also.
I think what's interesting about the dynamic that you're talking about with sort of like having different levels of investment or like different kind of your own alignment with different factions in like a strategy game, you know, like the Mongols, you know, it is just a process of kind of personifying, like you were saying, sort of right. an otherwise blank slate faction for what they happen to have done in your game. Yeah, you know, it's right. Like those guys are assholes, and it's just because the AI was like being really aggressive with that particular right. faction in that particular game. And I think that that is something that is most common in something like a strategy game where the level of abstraction is pretty high. You know, like mm-hmm. you're pulled out really far, and mm-hmm. it's almost a numbers game entirely. You know, but like. I'm interested in that phenomenon in the sort of other side of direct control games where like it feels like you could have a very similar kind of feeling of like personal connection with those kinds of groups if you were playing a game that was like, you know, some kind of I'm a dude in a world and there were a number of different factions that had no authored like kind of role in the world like inherently because. Kind of like you were saying, you play one of these games and these guys are the bad guys and these guys are your friends and right. these guys are the civilians that are being attacked by the bad guys or whatever. It seems like you could have an interesting kind of experience if it was almost more like, you know.
Built out of The Sims or something.
Well, I mean, even if it was just like sort of set up like Yojimbo or something where it's sort of you're just a dude and you're thrown in the middle of X number of factions that may have alignments towards each other or whatever, but they have yeah. no inherent alignment towards you. And so now your relationship with them is based on your own actions, you know? It seems like you can scale that sort of, mm-hmm. you know, feeling that you're talking about. It's more a question of just not being in as deterministic of a world for like you're saying, these guys are these guys. These guys are going to be right. your friends or whatever, you know?
It's yeah. I think that's always going to be tougher, though, the less abstract you get. You know what I mean?
Like, probably.
I think one of the things that makes it possible in or more possible more facilitated in a strategy game is that you can see the bigger picture kind of like you're more likely to see like the sweep of how this stuff turns out as opposed to like individual actors
right.
within the world like we don't have to get too deep into this but yeah it's I would be really curious to see someone try to apply those principles to yeah. a game that was pushed in further
yeah
it'd be interesting
yeah. you know yeah it's like yeah, just kind of resource control yeah. and everything. The same sorts of concerns you have in a strategy game.
Yeah, I mean, EVE Online, Online is kind of like that.
In a way, yeah. Except everybody, there aren't any AIs in that game, right? Everybody is
I don't think so.
Dude.
But yeah, but it's the same thing. I mean, no one yeah. comes in and it's like, your job is to kill these guys. It's join up with whoever you end up joining up with.
Yeah.
You guys may be done talking about games for today?
Probably.
Oh, I played a game, though. That I want to talk about.
No, you didn't.
I mean, I did, but we don't. We'll talk about it next time.
What did you?
I mean, nobody knows about it.
What?
No one.
What game?
It's a secret game.
It's only a small game.
I don't know. It's like a little indie thing.
What is it?
It's really played. I don't know.
Mass Effect.
Halo. Yeah.
No.
Get it? See, we made
a joke. What the hell game is it? I don't know if you guys have talked about it.
Say it.
Why don't you tell us?
Say it.
You hyped this the fuck up now, so it better be amazing.
Are you doing this on purpose now? What game are you playing?
I was just going to say Far Cry 2. Video games. I like that anytime I would be on the podcast, it's the eve of the Ides, or we do the Ides minus or plus, or whatever we need to do.
All right, fine,
I think
Sean.
We've done it on straight up Ides before.
Okay, are you guys fucking ready?
Fucking legit Ides.
Ides.
Straight up Ides.
Yeah. Straight Ides.
Straight up Ides. Straight Ides.
Oops, all Ides.
I used oops, all. something. I used the phrase in a design meeting. I used the phrase "oops, all side quests." And our lead designer, who I don't think has been exposed to any of the origin of that or anything, just like picked it up immediately. He was like, "Even if it was oops, all side quests, that wouldn't solve the problem." Like,
you realize you're referencing a spinoff of a serial
from 1993.
Be sure to include all that horrible stuff about baby autopsies.
No, there's a line even for Idle Thumbs.
I don't know if there's a line.